Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lam, and on today's show, we'll learn about the potential for geothermal energy. We have Dr. Sadiq Zarouk. He's the associate professor in geothermal engineering, co-director of the Geothermal Institute over at the University of Auckland. And we also have Ryan Matsumoto, who's the president of Waika Consulting. I want to welcome you both to Bite Marks Cafe.
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Bobby. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, great to have you on. And Dr. Zarouk, thank you for calling all the way from Aotearoa. It's great to have you on. And I want to start off maybe by having you both give us a little bit of an introduction to what you do in your respective roles. So, Sadiq, why don't you start with, you know, your role, associate professor, you know, geothermal engineering. You're obviously a consultant for Ryan, but tell us, you know, your sort of history in this geothermal space.
Oh, thank you. I've been in geothermal for about 29 years at the University of Auckland, the Geothermal Institute. We run a geothermal training program, one of three in the world that specialize in training people interested in upskilling into the geothermal industry as in the workforce or in research. And we are involved in a lot of projects, both in New Zealand and overseas. And I've been in developing geothermal resources, start from the exploration, finding, identifying the geothermal resources, all the way to drilling and building power plants to generate electricity or use the geothermal energy for direct heat, any industrial processes, heating, cooling, agriculture, drying food products. In New Zealand, we use it to dry timber, greenhouses, many applications.
Wow, that's great. And and Ryan, you're in Hawaii, and the company that you're with is Waika Consulting. What is your connection to geothermal, and how did Dr. Zarouk, kind of, how did you guys partner up?
So, yeah, thank you for that. I've actually, so my background is in, my degree background is in finance, and upon graduation of university, which was at the University of Hawaii, I started interning while I was at the University of Hawaii. I started interning for a company that was working with Native Indigenous peoples around the world, helping them develop their assets in an equitable way in the commercial sector. And just so happened that the first project, the very first project that I worked on back in 2008, was a geothermal power plant in New Zealand.
Oh,
so
okay.
The company principals at the time were invited by the late Maori queen. Her name was Queen Dame Teata, and she had invited our company from Hawaii to assist her people in helping them to develop their natural resources, which, you know, at the time, a lot of it was related to geothermal. And I was fortunate enough to go down to New Zealand several times to witness the impact that geothermal had on Native communities in New Zealand in terms of economic development potential, and seeing how areas that once were not necessarily impoverished, but they were able to utilize the geothermal development and the revenues that came from there to help transform their economic situation for their themselves and their families, which was a huge eye-opener to me. And I immediately thought, oh man, that would be amazing if we could ever do that kind of stuff back home and here in Hawaii. And so I've been fortunate enough to be working in geothermal since 2008, kind of grown up in the industry myself from being a university student to now in my current role. And even more fortunately, at the time, I can't remember exactly how we were introduced to Dr. Zarouk, but we've been working professionally since the first project, and he's been instrumental in not only educating myself, but providing invaluable insights into the industry and helping our company provide not only industry standard, but industry best practice knowledge to our workflow and processes and advisory.
You know, that's great to hear. And of course, you've been in this, you know, business for 17 years. And I was very pleased to have you both on just because I really haven't heard a whole lot of, you know, advancements in terms of geothermal on the Big Island. And Dr. Zarouk, you were mentioning that, you know, this is something that is quite accepted and embraced, you know, in New Zealand, and that there are, you know, many benefits that result from it, not to mention, you know, workforce development and other sort of associated industries that could result from access to this form of energy. So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, the sort of like the success stories that have occurred as a result of, you know, embracing geothermal in Aotearoa?
Oh, thank you. Yeah. In New Zealand, there are geothermal fields, and electricity production in New Zealand, 19% of that comes from geothermal. Electricity is generated in New Zealand since 1958. And in about there are 22 power plants running and generating electricity. In New Zealand, the landowner or the indigenous people have the rights to the resource. Mm-hmm. So any development will result in benefits to them in a partnership with the developer. Most of the developers here in New Zealand are local developers, and there is some interest from international, but any relation, any contract or development happens through a partnership. And I have the pleasure of working with the team from Hawaii, Ryan, and the management of Waika over the years through their indigenous-to-indigenous program they have, which Ryan talked about. And so I was involved in several projects. The first project we worked together with the local Iwi group resulted in a power plant now running and producing 28 megawatts. That electricity and benefit from it goes to the people. It provided jobs for the local people and transformed their economical situation majorly. There are other indigenous groups who have even bigger power plants, mm-hmm. and they also benefit not only from the electricity, but the waste energy that comes out of the geothermal power plant can be used for other applications. So they have the largest glass house in the southern hemisphere producing vegetables in winter for using geothermal heat. Mm-hmm. They have a milk drying facility. They even have a worm farm working, and you know, with geothermal heat. So multiple, and also now they started a hydrogen production plant using geothermal heat to electricity to generate hydrogen for the new hydrogen economy taking place in New Zealand,
mm-hmm.
and better clean energy, reducing CO2 emissions and what have you. Now, the other advantage of geothermal also is that the geothermal power plant produce less carbon compared to fossil fuel
mm-hmm.
plants,
right?
And because the we use that water, the CO2, we mix it with the water, and we put it back in the into the where it came from in the reservoir, effectively making your project carbon neutral, and that's been applied nowadays in most geothermal plants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you know,
could I add something, Mr.
Yeah,
Lum?
Yeah, Ryan, you know, I do want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about how you've been kind of communicating this and sharing it with some of the, you know, our Native Hawaiian communities. But we want to kind of hold that thought. We'll be right back at this short break to continue our conversation with Dr. Sadiq Zarouk and Ryan Matsumoto. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor The Hidden Nene.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio. HPR One. I'm Bert Lum. And if you're just joining us, we're learning about geothermal with Dr. Sadiq Zarouk, Associate Professor, Geothermal Engineering, Co-Director of the Geothermal Institute over at the University of Auckland, and Ryan Matsumoto, President of Waika Consulting. And of course, we're talking about geothermal. And right before the break, Ryan, I know you, sorry I had to kind of interrupt you, but I do want to let you say what you were going to say, but also add to that, you know, what are some of the things that you're doing here on the ground to share this, you know, this sort of opportunity from a you know, indigenous native perspective?
Absolutely. As I mentioned earlier, the things I witnessed in Aotearoa were incredibly eye-opening for me. And one of the most amazing things, to add on to what Dr. Zarouk was sharing, is a lot of those businesses and power plants that he was referring to, that or the power plants itself and then the ancillary businesses that come in addition to the power plant, are all the Maori, indigenous peoples in New Zealand who are called the Maori. Mm-hmm. They are all equity owners of a lot of these power stations and the businesses, which I think is incredible, including the hydrogen project that Dr. Zarouk was mentioning. That is something, to my understanding, is it's a pilot project owned by a Maori tribe that is in the dairy industry. And so they not only use the direct use of steam to dry and increase the shelf life of their dairy products, but they're also using the hydrogen to power the fleet of trucks that they're using to transport their products throughout the country. And all of those revenues, a lot of those revenues are going directly to the native Maori people, which I think is incredible and awesome, and something that we would love to incorporate into our development process here in Hawaii. And, you know, adding on to what you were asking me earlier, what Waika has been doing currently is we are in the process of, we actually have a partnership with the state of Hawaii through the Department of Business and Economic Development and Tourism to do community engagement for Hawaii Island in regard to potential geothermal development. And that's something, unfortunately, I don't think has happened much historically, where development companies have not historically gone into the community, explained to them what they plan to do, what the process is, getting feedback from various community stakeholders in order to provide input and impact the development process. And so what Waika is really proud to be a part of, and why one of the reasons why we work with individuals like Dr. Zarouk, is we are, our principals are the authors and the developers of a new development model called the Native to Native Community Collaborative Development Model. And why I think that's significant is not only is it based off of the United Nations Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, which we are very proud to have one of the authors of, not only part of a company, but a prominent Native Hawaiian attorney by the name of Mililani Trask. So this is a model that not only was developed at the United Nations level, but its main purpose is to empower and to create equitable opportunities, economic development opportunities for indigenous peoples around the world, to help them and assist them in the development of their natural resources and assets. And I feel that collaborative model is what is needed in order for us in Hawaii to build the industry and help us not only become compliant with the Hawaii Clean Energy Initiative law, which is requires us to be 100% renewable from our electricity by 2045 and 2035 for the neighbor islands, but it also is a significant opportunity for us to reduce our reliance on foreign imported fossil fuel. And right now, I think, you know, the numbers are always vary, but it's roughly 80% of our, you know, utility scale transmission power is generated from fossil fuel. And that contributes to the high cost and obviously the volatility of importing a product that comes from outside of Hawaii, as you know, as we can all see, is impacted by the whatever geopolitical situation is going on at the time. And that's something that, you know, we would love to replace with some fuel source that's locally available. And as Dr. Zarouk was mentioning, clean and environmentally friendly.
So Ryan, describe what it is that you feel the contract or the relationship with DBED is looking for. Are they looking for you to just go out there and do outreach, or are you planning to produce some sort of report that kind of articulates the general, I guess, attitude toward geothermal as a result of your interviews and surveys and discussions with the community?
Our main objective in regard to our partnership with the state of Hawaii is to collect information, but also to try to garner support for geothermal development in Hawaii. And currently, there's only one commercially operating power plant in the entire state. And we would love to assist the state in doing the necessary geoscience work in order to determine what the true potential is, specifically on Hawaii Island, in the hopes of reducing our dependence on foreign imported oil.
So the company that you're referring to is Puna Geothermal, correct? That's the only one that's currently in operation.
Yes, that's correct. Puna Geothermal, owned by Ormat Technologies, and they're currently the only one and only commercially producing geothermal power plant here in the state.
And so the work that you and Dr. Zarouk are doing is in addition to, or looking for opportunity in addition to what Puna Geothermal is doing. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I mean, as we all know, with all of the headlines currently, the Kilauea volcano is a very powerful energy source, as evidenced by the current eruptions and the record-setting eruptions, I guess I should say, mm-hmm. Currently going on, which creates these amazing visuals. But it also creates a hazardous situation that is specific to the area, and the lava flow, what I'm referring to are potential lava flows and different things that could potentially impact a power station if it's in the line of the lava flow. And so what we would like to do is to explore the entire island to see if there's other areas in addition to Puna that has commercially viable geothermal resource potential. And so we're not at the stage where we're doing that work yet, but we are hopefully in our partnership with the state creating the development plan and process that is not only commercially viable, but it makes commercially responsible and industry best practice to define the process of what it takes to get from where we are today to where we can actually have maybe a second or even third power station. But we're a long ways from that point, and we would love to work with the state in order to get from where we are now to where we would like to, where we could be in responsibly developing our natural resources here for our the production of our electricity.
So Dr. Zarouk, Ryan kind of just said that you're a long way, or we are a long way from actually identifying maybe some additional spaces or additional places where some geothermal plant could reside. And I do want to ask you, what do you foresee it taking to identify the right place, that would augment what already exists on Hawaii Island? So what we'll do is we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back in a short break to continue our conversation with Dr. Sadiq Zarouk and Ryan Matsumoto. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors Ulupono Initiative and Ruby Tuesday Hawaii.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum, right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR1. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Dr. Sadiq Zarouk, Associate Professor, Geothermal Engineering. He's a co-director of the Geothermal Institute over at the University of Auckland. And we also have Ryan Matsumoto, President of Waika Consulting. And right before the break, Ryan, you did a good job of kind of describing what the work that you're doing and perhaps the next steps in identifying where potential sites might be. And Dr. Saruk, I wanted to ask you, in terms of what you know so far, I mean, what kind of timeline are we talking about? And are we looking, or do you have a sense of, you know, where some of these potential locations might be?
The potential is on islands, you know, because they're all volcanic islands, and basically the geothermal system is what you see during an eruption and left after an eruption. What's underground is the amount of heat is stored, and the volcanic rock that didn't come to the surface is many, many orders of magnitude more. So there's a lot of heat been stored after volcanic activity, and that stayed for thousands of years. Then water, groundwater, trickle down, pick up that heat and produce a geothermal system.
Mm-hmm.
What we come is identify these systems and explore them, look at geology, geochemistry. This has already been done. At the next stage is to do geophysical surveys, which is basically sending signals, electrical signals through the earth, very weak, and measure the reflection and the look at the magnetics and try to identify these systems and where they exist before we bring the drill rig and start drilling and exploring them and finding out what we have.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we need to basically explore a few areas where there is high potential and with some geophysical surveys. And then after that, we screen them based on the information, and we decide to go with one or two of them that has the higher potential, higher likelihood of having a geothermal system there that we can bring a drill rig and drill through it and produce the fluid from the target. The first stage is exploring with geophysics and then followed by drilling and then well testing.
Mm-hmm.
And once we test these wells and we know how much each well can give us from each site, we can design a power plant that suits. And part of the design, we need to know what chemistry of fluid coming from each well and what's the gas content, so we can tailor the design to the site specifically. And that's why what Ryan mentioned about it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
So the sooner you start, the better. And unfortunately, geothermal, most of your investment is upfront, but the benefit, once you start producing, lasts for decades.
Now, Ryan, you know, you've been in this sort of business for 17 years. You've been very much on the ground, sort of understanding what the dynamics are, especially on the Big Island. I would have thought that perhaps as a result of geothermal being such a potential resource, that a lot of this kind of study would have already been done. And since it hasn't necessarily been done, since that's what you folks are now working on, do you find that there's investment or money to help you move the plan forward to do some of the research at this stage in 2025? Is there money to actually kind of move the initiative forward?
There is, but where the sources of those funds are, we're still in the process of exploring them.
Okay.
That's something that we are assisting the state of Hawaii with. One of the challenges with geothermal is the high upfront cost in the development process. So
mm-hmm.
the fuel source, once you're able to access it, is free, but the challenge is the high cost of doing the work in order to find the resource and find the best way to access the resource in a safe and environmentally friendly way and sustainable way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the challenge. And unfortunately, in regard to project economics, the private sector is not necessarily interested in funding a lot of that early stage. In my experience, they're
mm-hmm,
not
mm-hmm.
interested in funding that early stage preliminary work.
Mm.
But, we are in the process of looking at, you know, different public and private sector funding sources to help assist us, because we are very strong believers in the potential of geothermal for the benefit of all Hawaii residents. And But it definitely needs to be done in a very responsible way with a commercial focus, but also collaboratively with the community. And I think that's something where the native-to-native model can really help and assist with that. And we'll see what we're able to accomplish with these goals. But I think the time is right, and we all can and agree that our electric bills are too high, especially when compared with other places in our country. And when we're sitting on top of this immense resource that, is just waiting to be explored further.
So Ryan, you brought up a good point about, native to native. Now, what kind of model do you think would work? I can see where in Aotearoa, Māori, and they have their land, they can pretty much develop the business model that benefits the native people. But how would you construct something like that? What business model would benefit Native Hawaiians, in Hawaii? And have you thought about what model would actually work?
Yeah, a lot. And so, we are very, I'm not sure if you know about the law in Hawaii, but the geothermal resource is actually asset of the Public Land Trust here in Hawaii, which mm-hmm. is the beneficiaries are one part the general public and the other part the Native Hawaiian, which is represented by the Office of Hawaiian Affairs at the moment.
Okay.
And so they receive a direct royalty payment from all geothermal energy that's produced in the state. So in addition to that, our model creates direct community reinvestment that takes a portion of project revenues and reinvests it back into the local community. And in addition to the revenues, the model also defines a project governance board that includes select community stakeholders that will participate in the governance of the development. And so that's two very clear examples of where I think this model is needed here in Hawaii mm-hmm. as a result of making sure that the community is on board with all of the activities, the development activities of the project. Because, we feel very strongly that this is something to benefit, but we also want to make sure that we're providing accurate information and be as transparent as we can with all of the various stakeholders that will be impacted by this type of development.
Well, Ryan, I mean, this sounds like a, like a topic that I'd like to cover as we move, forward into the future. And where can people find out more information about, what you guys are doing?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. So primarily, we are a part of our community engagement efforts. We've created a campaign called Power for the People. And all information can be found at our website, P4phawaii.com, and also on our social medias, which can be accessed from our website.
Well, we'll put that up on our show notes for later on this evening. And of course, Dr. Sadiq Zaruk, he's an associate professor over at the University of Auckland, and Ryan Matsumoto is the president of Waika Consulting. Hey, I want to thank you both for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll find out the latest in Hawaii's cryptocurrency scene. If you miss any part of this edition, you can find a podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. Our engineer is David Chong. Catch us on HBR every Friday or anytime via the HBR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.